Almighty God, Almighty God, Almighty God, hallelujah. I don't want to back up in the service, but as impromptu the emphasis in worship went to grace, even as the choir was singing, I begin to feel in my heart there's a lot of folks need to know this morning that God's grace is available for you. Amen. Hearts are heavy. Maybe confusion. Maybe being human, we have a failure. But His grace is present in the house. Oh, what a God of grace and mercy. I told you last Sunday that we set aside the Revelation series during this Christmas season. And so this morning, if you turn to the old book of Haggai, chapter 2, called one of the minor prophets, not because the message was minor or the prophet was minor, but it's just a shorter book. Shorter book. If that went to sermons, you'd have major preachers and minor preachers, depending upon the length of their sermon. Praise the Lord. I know you're thinking minor, Pastor Hurst, minor, minor. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house, the temple, with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. In the first part of that verse, there is a description. It says the desire of all nations. And I want to preach this morning on the desire of all nations. The desire of all nations. Holy Spirit, you don't speak of yourself. You come to speak of Christ to our hearts. You've come to glorify Christ and to take the things of the Son and make them real to our hearts. Thank you for the coming of the Son. Now, Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the Word, that you would once again take the things of Christ and show them to our hearts in a personal way. Thrill us, Lord. Encourage us. Give us praise in our hearts. Thank you for your people, Lord, this morning. Bless those that are here gathered. Bless them with the sense of your nearness, your presence, your love. We thank you for all these things. And God's people said, amen. You can be seated. It has certainly gotten out of hand, but Christmas time has become the time of desiring things. It's become a time of longing. Now, this is going to our young people, this is going to sound really ancient, you know, like Charles Dickens stuff. But one of the big things of Christmas season when I was young is to get the JCPenney or the Sears catalog and head for the toy section. Please, sir, I want some more. That didn't even mean anything. How many remembers those days? We didn't even have a television. You'd head for the toy section. And my, you talk about some longings and desires. Oh, those bicycles and different. I mean, we always had good Christmases, but catalog could set off desiring for things you didn't even think you wanted until you got to looking. I remember in particular that electronic set. Brother Tim, it was a kit. You could build a transistor radio. Weren't those cool? Transistor. How many remembers you got your first transistor radio? Wasn't that great? We didn't have earphones. We walked around like this. But you had a kit, and then there was the chemistry set. Wow, can you imagine? I can't imagine some kids with a chemistry set. I remember even younger than that, my grandfather was older when I was born and retired, and he liked to take walks, and I'd go with him, and we lived real close to Main Street, and they lived through the backyard, and we'd walk up Main, and Brother O'Hare, that was before, I mean, our town was only 25, 30,000. That was before department stores like Walmart, so you had the mom-and-pop stores, and you had to go to Main Street to shop. Boy, this sounds like ancient of days, doesn't it? But I remember, I can't remember the name, but I can remember the side of the street and where it was at, one mom and pop store. In the window, they had a barn, toy barn set displayed in the window. I mean, it had fences, it had chickens, it had cows, tractors. I mean, it had it all, and the doors really worked. And I remember as a little kid standing, looking in the window, thinking, what would it be like to own that barn set there with all those animals? I mean, Christmas can bring out a lot of longings and desires of the heart. Let me just put it this way. We humans are just a bundle of desirings and longings and cravings and hungers. But my message this morning is, behind the plethora of all of our cravings is one overarching, ultimate craving and desire. I want to talk to you about the greatest desire humanity has. I want to talk to you about the most important desire that you and I need fulfilled in our life. And I want to use this verse to do so. I want you to look at the phrase again, the desire of all nations. Now, I must be extremely honest with you tonight, or tonight, today, I won't preach that long, but today, I must be honest with you that there's much debate on the meaning of this phrase, the desire of nations. For centuries of church history, this has been taken to mean this: the one that all nations desire shall come to the temple. And when he comes to the temple, it will be filled with glory. And so the desire of the nation is that one that all nations are desiring. He is the one to come. In more modern times, they say the desire of all nations is the things the nations desire, the treasures, that every nation will bring their treasures to the temple, and God will fund the building of his temple with the treasures of all nations. Amen. We could have that debate, but that's beside the point. What I must tell you is that I can't get this out of my heart and head. All this Christmas season, I hear this descriptive phrase, the desire of all nations. And you can ultimately believe what you want to, but what I believe is what centuries of the church has believed. I believe that this is a prophecy of the coming of our Savior, because I believe very truly Jesus is the desire of all the nations. I believe he is the one that they are ultimately hungering and craving and longing and desiring for. Jesus is the desire of the nations. The glory had departed from the temple. They had rebuilt a temple, but it was empty of the glory of God. But I'm telling you, when that babe was born in a manger, and Mary and Joseph took the babe into the temple for the dedication of their infant, when they carried that infant child, Jesus, into the temple, this scripture was fulfilled. The glory had returned to the temple. Even later in his ministry, when Jesus walked into the temple precincts, when he walked through the gates, the glory had returned. The desire of all nations. I want to tell you what Jesus is, a desire of all nations. Aren't you glad he has come? I want you to notice three things quickly from this. The desire for God is universal. The desire of God is universal. Thus we have the description, the desire of all nations. You see, when you read nations in the Bible, you're to think people groups. And I know the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, which I'm not well acquainted, but the Greek translated that the ethna, or the ethnos. We get our word ethnic from it. Different people groups. And so nations is not talking about France and England and Ireland and Nigeria or any of those. Amen. It's talking about Eskimos and African Americans and white Anglo-Saxons and Hispanics. But it's talking about even more than that, people groups. It's talking about Muslims and Protestants and Catholics and Hindus and Buddhists and Jehovah's Witnesses. But we could break it down for further. Nations are rednecks and Appalachians and Ivy Leaguers and those Yankees and hippies and yuppies, all kinds of people. We could break it down. It's talking about the greatest generation. It's talking about the baby boomers. It's talking about Generation X. It's talking about the millennials. If you don't know that's what you are, you're millennials. Amen. That's who it's talking about. And what it's saying is he is a desire of all people from whatever segment of society you're from, whatever your ethnicity, whatever your background, whatever your eco-social status is, he is a desire of all nations. This desire is universal. No human is born without longings. No human is born without hunger, thirst, a drive to succeed, a longing for companionship, a desire to be loved, a desire to matter, a desire to be heard. And what many have not yet understood, that you can package all these desires together, and what you have is an ultimate craving which a human is born with, and that craving is a craving for God. You say, well, I know folks that don't believe in God. That changes nothing. You say there are folks that have never heard of Jesus. That changes nothing. They may believe that they're nothing but a material being, a cosmic accident of chemicals and membranes and cells and bones and blood. That changes nothing. They may even look you in the eye and say, I have no inner craving. I have no desires beyond the desires of my physiology, my body. But that changes nothing. It's in every person. Every human born is born with a desire for God. I believe that. Amen. One proof of that is you'll never find a group of people that does not worship something. They will. You say, well, I know atheists. Well, their religion is a lack of religion. They are very religious about their unbelief of God. Amen. You say, well, I know others. They're secularists. Yes, and their religion is green earth, and their religion is environment, and their religion is something else. But everywhere you go, from one continent to another, from the back alleys of New York out to the woods of North Michigan, amen, people, where there's people, they're worshipers, they're hungering, they're searching, they are looking. Why? Because they have a desire that's unfulfilled. It's a desire that goes beyond the natural desire. How many could concede with me that since man was created by God, he was created with a hunger and a desire for God? St. Augustine said something close to this. He said, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. God created it that way. He created you and me, so nothing can fulfill that desire but him. He created the desire within us. It was quoted in scripture not long back. Many times we quote this as we're hungering for revival and a move of God. But David said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? But I want you to know, this isn't just a description of a Christian seeking renewal. I think this is a description of all humans. If they were honest, if they could articulate it, every human would have to say, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. That's the way we are created. Amen. What is this desire? It's the desire that remains. Amen. When those that have everything, they still have this desire. I want you to call in mind something we know. Take a movie star. They have popularity. They have money. They have houses. They have cars. They have land. They have relationship. But everything about their life says, I'm seeking more. I mean, how many knows the young stars who are imploding before our eyes? The girl and the boy in particular. Why are they imploding? They got it all. Why are they unhappy? Why are their lives out of control? Because you can have it all and you still have that craving for God. Amen. Even on a more average level, amen, you can have a nice house, you can have a great job, you can have nice clothes, you can have food in the cabinets, but if you don't have God, there's still a craving in your heart. You can have friends and families and a spouse and a children, but there's still that desire that we're created with. Amen. These have it all, but there's that gnawing, unsatisfied longing deep within. Amen. Back in my time, I didn't listen to it then. I read about it, but the Rolling Stones came out with a song that swept the world. Can't get no satisfaction. By the way, amen, that is the truth of the world. You can have it all and get no satisfaction. But you know what they were admitting through the rock song? You can have it all, but there remains a desire that nothing else can fulfill. Oh, I'm way ahead of myself, but that's true. You can partake of this and that in the world, but the end statement of your life will be, I can't get no satisfaction. Why? Because only Jesus can satisfy man's soul. Mike Bickle said this. I thought it was great. I think I put it for Brother Mike to put up for us. But a longing is an ache of the heart. It's a cavity of the spirit crying to be filled. That's a desire for God. People instinctively, they know that something is missing. They know there's got to be something more. Secondly, I want you to notice that even when it's not recognized as a desire for God, that driving desire of all people, that thing that's behind it all, is that truthfully desire for God. I've just preached that as a human, our body thirsts for water. Every human thirst for water has a desire for food. And by the same token, every human has a desire for God. Every culture, every people group, every individual. They may not know that's what that desire is. They may misinterpret it as being a desire for something else. They may try to fulfill that desire with everything except God. But what that is, whether they admit it or not, is a desire for God. You know, I want you to think of our natural desires. I want you to think of this. Every natural desire has an object that will fulfill it. If you hunger, if you have a hunger desire, there is bread. If you have a thirst, there is water. If you're cold, there is fire. Right? I mean, for every natural, you're tired, there's sleep. I don't see anybody. But if you're tired, there's sleep. In other words, there's an object for every natural desire. What man needs to admit that there is a desire beyond the temporal and the material. And if there is something that meets every natural desire, there must be something that meets that desire that goes beyond the material. And that something is God. Let me tell you something. If you got desires you cannot meet by the natural things of this world, there's two things. Either they're twisted fantasies of your mind of non-realities that do not exist. That's what's driving a lot of our world into its perversion, its wickedness. They got unrealistic fantasy desires that nothing on earth can fulfill. It's either that, or that desire that nothing temporal or material can fulfill, that is that desire for God. And there'll be no material or temporal thing. It is, whether they admit it or not, a desire for God. You see, a person may not even know what it is that he is seeking. Let me see your hands this morning if you've ever had the munchies. How many's got them right now? Confession's good for this, sir. How many knows what I'm talking about? You take the trip into the kitchen and you get something. Popcorn. You sit there, take it back to the living, you eat. That didn't do it. You go back, you get the bag of potato chips. That didn't do it. Go get you a bowl of ice cream. That didn't do it. Go get you a stalk of celery. How many knows exactly what I'm talking about? You know, that's the way the world is, exactly. They don't even know what they're seeking. They just know they feel empty. They know that nothing seems to satisfy, and they keep trying this and trying that, and they still have that desire. People are restless because they're not finding what it is that they're desiring. You know, there was an old song, since we're talking about old things today, but oh, that verse had it right. It said, I searched for him and knew not what I searched for. I longed for him and knew not what I longed for. That's a description of the world. They're seeking. They don't even know what they're seeking for. They're longing. They don't even know what they're... Oh, but I like the way it finished up. But then I found Jesus and I knew that I would thirst. Why? He filled that longing down in my soul. They don't even know what it is that they're desiring. Amen. They don't recognize it as a longing for God. We have some expectant mothers amongst us, and I don't know about all those cravings, expectant cravings, but I've read, we went through that years ago. I mean, anyway, discussing it. But I've heard, you know, sometimes expectant women get to craving eyes and even starch. Some of, you know, when they used to iron with starch, they get to craving the starch. Doesn't that sound good? What you hungry for? Oh, give me a bowl of starch. And some nutritionists disagree, but they say when an expectant mother is longing and craving eyes, what she's really craving is iron. Right? And that's the way it is with our world. They don't even really they think that's what they're desiring, and they don't realize they're really desiring God. I know if I've been working out and been sweating a lot, you need to know that, I guess. But anyway, all of a sudden I'll get to be craving potato chips. What am I really craving? Salt. And this world doesn't realize that what they're really desiring is Jesus. And they think they're desiring something else. I've quoted many times the great journalist G.K. Chesterton, but he said, every time a man knocks on the door of a brothel, he is knocking for God. He doesn't realize that. He thinks he's there for a woman, but in all reality, it's a desire for God. And I thought, you know, we need to modernize that. But every time a man visits a pornography site, he's really looking for God. And all, we could go on and on. Every time a young lady promiscuously gives herself to one and then another, when a person is driven to succeed in sports and work and make sacrifices of everything else to succeed, they may not realize it, but they're seeking for God. The one that thinks what they want is another bottle of alcohol, another dose of the drug. It's not really alcohol and drugs that they're after. Even that craving, it's a craving for God, even when it's not recognized as such. That's what it is. And that being what it is, only God can satisfy that longing. Can you say amen? Last of all, Jesus is the desire of all nations, because only He can fulfill that desire of all people. Only He can. We used to have a saying, it's a square peg in a round hole. You can try with other things of this world, but only Jesus, only God can meet the ultimate need of the human heart. And that's why we're here in the Christmas celebration. You know, sometimes we fail to remember that only God can meet the desire of our heart, but we couldn't get at God. Too distant, too far, beyond our grasp, beyond our comprehension. But when we could not go to where He was, He came to us. And Brother Oakey, that's what Christmas is about. Our hunger was for God. God knew that. He created it. But we couldn't get at God, so God came to us. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. You see, we was hungering for the manna from heaven. Jesus came and said, go ahead and take hold of me. I'm the bread of life. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. He came, as you were reading from 1 John, as John put it, our hands have handled of the word of life. Amen. Only God could satisfy. And so Jesus came that we could get a hold of him. The babe born in the manger, God and humanity, was the desire of all nations, contained within swaddling clothes. The Son of God came that we could grasp him. The water of life that we thirsted for was suddenly in our midst, that we could drink. Amen. The fire we needed to thaw the coldness of our soul suddenly burned in our midst. And the light that we needed to dispel our darkness suddenly shone amongst us. Hallelujah. Amen. I hate to say another old song, but write some good ones. Amen. I'll quote them. But listen, how many remembers this? He's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. Listen, he goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. And here it is. Here's why I'm quoting it. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he promised, and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. Did you hear it? He's everything my soul ever longed for. And he came so we could partake. He came so we could touch. He came so we could hear. He came so we could receive. How many would say he's truly everything my heart ever longed for? One verse that I stand amazed when I think that the King of glory should come to dwell within the heart of man. I marvel just to know he really loves me when I think of who he is and who I am. And could I say Jesus then truly is a desire of the nations, and his coming that we celebrate is the glory return to the temple. I want to ask you some questions. I want you to really think about it. What if there were nothing more than what's a part of this material, temporal universe? Think of your desirings of your heart, and think that truly there is no God. There's nothing more than what is material and temporal. How many like to live with the desires you have and to know that all there is, all that exists, is temporal and material? Wouldn't that be a horrible state? What if we were left to find happiness only in tangible food, tangible money, relationships, possessions? What if we were left to find meaning and purpose and reality only in those things? What if there was simply nothing, and we knew there was nothing to feel that aching longing down in our hearts? What if there was no God? What if there were no Jesus? Now could I say, he is a desire of the nations. Hallelujah. You may remember my saying it before, but the indictment against so many Christians is that they say that only Jesus can satisfy the soul, but they keep making excursions into the world looking for something else. Isn't that an indictment against? Truly, only he. Would you come, music? I didn't have time to get my wife. I thought we might sing a little bit of this, but we won't do that. How many's ever heard this? Hallelujah. I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. By his grace, I now am saved. How many can say this morning, hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Amen. I read of a phenomena, and I researched it just a little bit to see if I was remembering correctly. And I have read in particular identical twins can be separated at birth, and something in them will be missing the twin they never knew. I read a particular instance where, you know, all of us have thought, hey, it'd be cool to have a twin, you know, identical twin. We'd fool the teacher, you know, our parents. But this goes more beyond that kind of surmising. It's a deep-rooted desire. And I read of one girl, all her life she felt that way. She said, you know, I would just feel like I need to have a twin. And finally, when she became a teenager, her mom said, you know, you're old enough now, I want to tell you. But she said, you did have a twin that died at birth. But she had went all her life desiring a twin. That was born in her because she was a twin. But what is true of all humans is that every human is born with a desire for God, and there'll always be something missing. There'll always be an emptiness. There'll always be a hole until we know Jesus living in our hearts. Great is the mystery of godliness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He feels a longing down deep in our hearts. He's a desire of the nations. Amen. If you have found that true, only Jesus can satisfy my soul. Would you stand all over the building? Lift your hands to the desire of the nations and say, you're the one I desire. You're the one that I long for. You're the one I hunger after. Even believers find themselves away from God, involved in the sins of the world, because they have forgotten. They have forgotten that only Jesus can satisfy the longing of the soul. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Lift your hands to the desire of the nations. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Are you here this morning? You say, that's me. I've been seeking to fulfill that longing with other things. But what I need is Jesus. What I need is Him. Amen. Would you come to this altar, this step we use as an altar? Would you come and say, Jesus, what I'm hungering for is you. What I'm thirsting for is you. Only you can meet the need of my soul and my heart. Amen. Would you come right now? Say, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Come and feel this longing. Come and feel this hole in my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. People are imploding, not just those young stars, but people are imploding because almost at a maddening pace, they are seeking to meet that desire with the sins and the pleasures and the wickedness of this world, and it's destroying them. And after each episode, after each experience of sin, whether it's sexual or drugs or alcohol or materialism, after every episode, they're left more empty and more hungry because nothing can meet that desire. Oh, but when folks find Jesus, they find He that completes their lives. I like what the Apostle Paul said. He said, you are complete in Him, and you can have everything, but until you have Jesus, you are incomplete. Or you can have nothing, but if you have Jesus, your life is complete. Anyone here say, I want Jesus to feel that need of my life? Are you here? Would you come right now? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. I'm going to open these altars. And you'd say, that's right. He's the desire of the nations. He's my desire. He's my desire. And I need Him. Only He has been able to satisfy. Would you come and fill these altars and say, oh, Lord, I just want to eat more of the bread of heaven. I want to drink more of the water of life, because only You can satisfy. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I know some can't come for various reasons. I understand that. But if you're here and you've come to the altar in the past, but you've quit coming, maybe you're not seeking for Jesus to fulfill the desire of your heart. You've turned and looking for something else that will fill that hole. Oh, won't you make the trip this morning and say, Jesus, I'm going to concede that only You, Spirit of God, touch our hearts this morning. Oh, Spirit of God, speak to souls. that have been seeking to fulfill that desire with other things. It can't happen. It won't happen. It's impossible to happen. God, speak to them by your Spirit. Bring them, oh God, to the place that they admit only you, Christ, only you, Jesus, can fulfill that need of my heart. Oh, hallelujah. Only Jesus can satisfy my soul. Oh, hallelujah.
I thirst for you.
Hallelujah.
I search for you. And I'll try and bear.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're longing for you.
Hallelujah.
And to guide
hallelujah.
Us to the place
hallelujah.
Where you
hallelujah.
Cleanse us with your rain. Baptize us once again.
Partake of Jesus this morning. Partake of him.
We search for you.
Feast on Jesus this morning. Feast
and
on
dry
him.
Dry and barren land. We're longing for your hand.
Holy
guide
Jesus.
Us to
only Jesus.
A place where you
only Jesus. Only Jesus.
Baptize us once again. We thirst for you.
We thirst for you.
For you.
We thirst for you.
In a dry and barren
land. Oh, a dry
land,
and barren land.
We're longing for your hand
we're
to
longing,
guide
God.
Us to a place where you can cleanse us with your rain.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus.
Lord,
oh,
we
Jesus.
Are waiting.
Let him satisfy your soul while you're in the altar. Call out to him.
Come,
let him satisfy
let
your soul from this altar.
Again.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feast on Jesus. Oh, only Jesus.
Oh, Lord, we are waiting. Let the river flow. Come flood our hearts again. Quench our thirsty souls. We thirst for you. We search for you. In a dry and barren land, we're longing for your hand to guide us to a place where you can cleanse us with your rain, baptize us once again, we search for you.